serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, catching up this week with the Candy Bomber, 100-year-old Gail Halvorsen, who earned that nickname for his actions during the Berlin airlift, actions that would spur a movement that ultimately helped turn the tide of world opinion. When we left off, he was talking about the group of German children he'd been speaking to on the other side of a barbed wire fence in Berlin. He had just two sticks of gum in his pocket, not nearly enough, he thought, to please all those kids.
I said, two sticks, you're going to have bloody noses. Get out of here. Two sticks is not going to make any difference, and they're just going to get these kids with a bloody nose. I got about 50 feet of that, and the voice clears a bell. Just no equivocation. Go back to the fence. Just like a command. I hear that voice now. No hesitation. Go back to the fence. Well, I turned around, and when I did, those kids just grabbed the barbed wire and waited, and I got there, and I pulled it out, and boy, they watched every move, broke it in half, and passed to the kids that did some of the translating, and here came the rush. And I thought, oh, dear, be careful. All the little girls, and they were kind. They asked for a piece of the wrapper, and the kids that got a half a stick carefully tore off the outer wrapper and the tin foil. I stood there, dumbfounded, and passed out the strips of paper to the other kids that didn't get any gum. And the kids would put that up to their nose and smell it. And I turned to leave. They had it crumpled up in their hand to take back to show mother if she still, or if dad, well, dad, not too many dads, to show them what they found at the fence that day in Berlin, a piece of wrapper on a half a stick of gum. When I saw that, it just blew my mind. I said, boy, for 50 cents, I could put on an easy street, give them a full stick of gum to keep the wrapper. And then the red light came on. Well, you should be in bed now. I had a good co-pilot. I should have been in bed in Rhein-Main that moment. But I had a great co-pilot, John Pickering, and I knew that he could find his way to Berlin. I'd be awake that time. So instead of going to bed, I went back. Had to go back and start flying. Anyway, those kids, just unbelievable in their attitude and gratitude. So that's how it started there.
Well, and I'm sure you had no idea what it was going to turn into and how big a deal it would become. I mean, here you just have this innocent idea, and you talk about hearing voices in your head. You think that was lack of sleep, or do you have some other explanation for that?
I'm blowing the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we call that the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost rides with you and helps you, prompts you what path to take, and that where you end up is if you follow the GPS of the Holy Ghost, then you're going to end up in a pretty good place. So, well, I did. I got in trouble. I came back the next day over the field, and they said, how do we know what airplane you're in? And there's an airplane every 5 minutes, and we'll be tired if you don't get in soon. And I said, when I came over the field, I wiggle the wings. Wiggle the wings like I did over the farm when I got my pilot license. Showed Dad that was me. My dog, I had a black shepherd dog, and he'd chase airplanes. And I see my dog chasing my airplane from down below. But so he said, I'll wiggle the wings, and that'll know that I'm there. And that's how we communicated first.
How much candy did you end up dropping? And how amazed were you when you saw the impact that it had on awareness, not just there in Germany, but around the world, and what kind of dent that made?
Well, I started out with two sticks of gum, and it ended up, we couldn't buy much chocolate. All we could, it was rationed. And so we could buy just so much every week. And so my buddies gave me their ration. And then for 3 weeks, we dropped it. And the crowd got bigger and bigger and bigger. Came back in Berlin one day to Rhein-Main, and an officer met the airplane. Come steaming on board. He said, who's flying this airplane? My buddy pointed to me. He is. Why? Colonel Hahn wants to see you right now. What for? He'll tell you what for. Colonel Hahn Halvorsen. I flew for him in Mobile, and he came over too. A lieutenant colonel, a head boss. And he says, Halvorsen, well, what have you been doing? I said, flying like mad, sir. I'm not stupid, he said. What else you been doing? And then I knew he knew. He pulled out a newspaper, threw it on the counter, German Berlin paper, right on the front page of my airplane. Parachutes coming out of it. Kids lined up the barbed wire fence. I said, holy cow. Oh, Halvorsen, why didn't you tell me about that? He says, sir, there's no excuse. I had Utah State. I had two quarters of ROTC. There's no excuse for an act like that. No excuse, sir. So he said, well, General Tunner called me up, the big boss, General Tunner, called him up and said, Hon, what have you been doing dropping parachutes over Berlin? Old General, you know we're not dropping anything over Berlin. We're unloading all the coal and food on the ground. They got an unloading crews. We wouldn't drop it over, pulverize it or hit somebody. We're unloading it. He said, Colonel, you better find out what's going on in your outfit. Clunk. What I found out from that in my military career is don't try and impress your boss's boss. Work on your boss. Well, I didn't want to impress anybody. I didn't want anybody to know about it. So that's how I found out about it. And then we went crazy. The guys in the States sent stuff, all the schools sent things to Chicopee, Massachusetts. They tied up everything and sent it over ready to drop. So the candy companies, Hershey was the biggest one, that they'd say, how much of this you want? And we'd give them some ridiculous number, and they sent it. So we sent it up to Chicopee, and then the school kids from all around the area, Chicopee, Mass, would come in and tie up these things in big cardboard boxes and put them on the airplanes going over from Westover Air Force Base, over the Rhine Main, and then we would lock it up and load it up with my buddies to give them a map of how to find it and how to different places so we didn't drop it all the same place. But that's how we distributed that much candy. It was 23 tons. 20 tons dropped in that time, and 5 tons at Christmas time distributed on the ground to the Christmas parties on the ground. The ultimate sacrifice of the 31 Americans that were killed during the blockade and 39 Brits that gave their lives to the former enemy.
Yeah, and who's to say you wouldn't have become one of them, but instead what you became was a legendary figure, especially in Germany. When you finished that tour over there, when the blockade had ended and some kind of normalcy was restored and you headed back to the States, was it hard to fathom just how big a deal this was and how that one little idea and those two sticks of gum turned into such a worldwide phenomenon?
I never did. I still don't understand it. I still don't understand it. Small things precede that, which is great, and it was a very small thing. And I just came back from Utah to a huge celebration there, and Kitty Hawk, to fly the Berlin Airlift Memorial Airplane, Spirit of Freedom, with Tim Schulpe, the founder, dropping memorial flowers for those who were killed, and also candy bars to the kids, as usual. So it's still going on. I'm still as amazed as I ever was. But there's nothing quite like getting a candy bar coming out of the sky, even though they got plenty they can buy in the store. To see those parachutes come out, it's amazing how they look. And when you hold, drop 50 pounds of candy bars on parachutes, and the kids chase them like the kids did in Berlin. Just run after him. It's a sort of a magic thing, but it has surprised me a great deal. But it's fun doing it, to see the kids today. And I talk to a lot of schools and show them the old movies I took of the airlift, and the kids still relate to it.
Well, and it's got to be every kid's dream to catch a candy bar falling from the sky. I mean, I think there's whole books written about that idea. But this has turned into a defining part of your life, and it's allowed you to meet presidents of our country and other countries. It's taken you all over the world. Out of all of that, what are you most grateful for? And how long are you going to keep doing this and keep doing all these reenactments and telling your story and going here and there and everywhere like a jet setter?
Well, I couldn't be more grateful for all the great, wonderful support, the schools all over the United States. Without them, we wouldn't have those parachutes to use. Grateful for the support of the children, the American children. And I've had letters from kids that lost their dad in the war in Germany. And yet they said that as bad as they felt, they thought it was a healing influence. But I was very grateful for the people that have made it easy for me to keep flying, and for Heavenly Father for me to be able to keep flying. I'm not the first pilot, I'm the co-pilot on the airplane, and to go around and meet the kids. And it brings back the memory of those kids back during the blockade, to see them running after the parachutes today. But one thing I've taken from this is that fulfillment in life doesn't come from more money or a newer car or a bigger house than a neighbor. And the real fulfillment comes from serving others. The Dead Sea's dead because it wraps its arms around all the fresh water that comes in and gives out nothing. And wherever you live, United States or other places, you'll find Dead Sea souls. When they said, first of all, if somebody is in need, they say, well, what did you give me? find out what the reward will be before the act. And that cuts off that the real blessing, the greater blessing. So service before self is the antidote. Service before self, you see the need, do what one can without question for the maximum benefit, maximum reward. The other thing is gratitude. Gratitude is the elixir that breaks down barriers between people. It shows a consideration for somebody besides yourself. And showing that gratitude, like the children, is silent gratitude. Their lack of saying, gimme, gimme, their silent gratitude was more powerful than a verbal one. Gratitude, attitude, service before self, and small decision. Like I said, put your footsteps on the path, at least where you end up, for good or bad. Those are the things that the airlift taught me and affected my life, has for since that time and still does. It changed hatred to friendship.
I know that you're not looking for attention, you're not bragging about anything, and you're going to be hesitant to probably give me an honest answer on this. But what's it like when you go back to Germany? The reception that you get, the way people react to you, even now. Can you give us a taste of what that's like for you, how they react to seeing you and hearing your name? And maybe you can even say that in German. What do they call you in German?
Uncle Wackelflügel means Uncle Wiggly Wings, with a Schokoladenflieger, the chocolate pilot. Because of this, there's a Gail S. Halvorsen School in Berlin. It's a wonderful school, and these kids have been supportive and go back there, and it's like homecoming, and they've done so many good things for me when I go back, and the parades that they have, the kids turn out, especially, well, and the old folks that were there during the blockade. Every time I go back to Berlin, I run into more than one on most occasions that was there and tell me how they caught the parachute. One boy with a lot of stories about that, but he's going to school and through the clouds came the parachute. But problem was, there's a little pond right there, a land in the pond. So he waited, he rushed right out of the pond over his knees to get the parachute. He went to school and the teacher's chewing him out. When the boy told her what happened, why, she let him go home and get some dry clothes. But all the letters, there's too many letters to mention. Well, for a farm kid that didn't have inside plumbing until he got in high school, I never forgot that. But it is a joy to go back and hear a different story from someone I had not met before. It's been wonderful. I just want to be able to keep going as long as I can, and then when I can't do it anymore, to get out of the limelight. But I just want to do what I can, and the point X, I'm going to retire. I've been saying that for quite a while.
That's what he was saying at 95, and not too much has changed since then, as you heard earlier from now 100-year-old Gail Halvorsen. After a drive-by birthday parade to celebrate that century mark, this father of five, grandfather to 24, great-granddad to more than 60, and Uncle Wiggly Wings to more than he could count, was honored with a larger-than-life mural in Tremont in Utah. That's where he first caught the aviation bug, seeing planes fly over while he was working on his father's sugar beet farm. And now, in downtown Tremont, the 76-foot-wide facade of a brick building features a mural of Colonel Halvorsen in front of a giant, half-wrapped chocolate bar, like the ones he and his fellow pilots dropped millions of to German children more than 70 years ago. I have some news coverage of that mural unveiling linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. And when I caught up with the chocolate flyer himself this week, I had to ask what it felt like to see that enormous tribute in Tremont.
Well, felt like it somebody remembered, and that's quite a long time ago, and I flew the airlift and other activities in the war, and I thought, my gosh, that's pretty neat. Here it is, this far after the war, and people are still remembering, and I thought that was really neat.
Well, and they're going to remember for a long, long time. I think the question I'd love to hear you answer is, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 years from now, when somebody drives by that mural or they participate in the Gail Halvorsen Education Center, you know.
I have a warm spot in my heart wherever I am.
What do you hope that people understand or take away from it when they see that painting or they hear your story and they understand what you and others did so long ago?
I tell them that there's a few things in life that are really important. It's hard to pick out the best, but attitude, gratitude, and service before self is the way for happiness. If you get the right attitude and don't get off the track there. And gratitude, be grateful. You just, the world didn't get this way by itself. Those who've gone before, attitude, gratitude, and service, serving others. There's no better or sure way of feeling good about yourself than helping somebody that needs it. That was the Berlin Airlift. The Berliners needed to stay free through day and night. And I never flew so many hours in the shortest time than that, but I never felt better about it. So the little things in life are important. They make the life meaningful. I think that's what I've learned in life, in the Air Force for 31 years. And it's a great life. Good people out there in the United States of America, no place like it. I'm so grateful to have that opportunity to live here and to leave here on occasion in different circumstances and see what the rest of the world's like. We're an exception in how we're governed. Glad I was born in the United States of America.
Amen. You just shared some of the things you've learned in 100 years of life, but I'm curious if there's anything you're still looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's a different world out there, and people have different opinions, and we just got to remember how blessed we are to be in the USA.
Well, people like you have made it a better place to live, so thank you for your example and your words. Is there anything else you want people to know from a centenarian?
No, just tell them that they should stop at night before they go to bed and say their prayers and pray that our system of government can be maintained and the people we elect are the best people. I'm just grateful every day I wake up that I'm an American.
An exemplary American, Gail Halvorsen, now 100 years old, but looking forward to the next time he can hop inside a C-54 and once again reenact what he did all those years ago. Perhaps that'll happen in Spanish Fork, Utah, where the Gail S. Halvorsen Aviation Education Foundation is raising money now for a permanent home, a building where young people will be able to come and not just learn about the Candy Bomber's powerful example, but also learn robotics, rocketry, and other STEM disciplines. If that's a mission you'd like to support, I have the foundation's website linked for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, or you can go directly there if you type in thecandybomber.org. That's all the time we have today, but thanks so much for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.